simply a Turkish walk.
Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av, Friday the 17th of July. In a change to the advertised programme, Rabbi Gedalia Lieberman, the correct approach to Nedarim. I said it. No, advertised change to the program.
Good morning. I was told that on Friday, the minig is to say something on the parasha. So I was asked to speak. I opened up the week's Edra. Parashas Matos, the name doesn't give much away. So open up, Vidabe Moshe, Roshia Matos, Mnei Yisrael Lemer, Zedoma Shetzibar Hashem, Ishki Yidor Neder, opens up the Parashas Nedarim. And I was reminded of a story when I was in Kollel, and a friend of mine came over to me one day and he said, I need to do a Torah Nedarim. So I need three people, but I need to tell one person what the Neder is and what the Pesach is. In other words, why I believe the Neder doesn't stand. So I'm going to tell you what the Neder is. So I told him, I don't know the Halachos of Nedarim. I've never had a chance, fortunately, to learn the Halachos of Nedarim. But you tell me. In other words, if you know what you're doing, tell me what I'm doing. And he turned around to me and said, you've never learned the Halachos of Nedarim. I mean, how can you be a frum Jew? So it seems the halachas of Nedarim, like many sets of halachas, before you learn it, you feel that it's not something we bump into on a day-to-day basis. But after you learn it, you find out there's shilas and things that you're similar to. I'm learning at the moment. I'm being Isaac in the halachas of brachos, Birchas Hananim. Also, we grow up and, you know, our mother tells us this is Mazonis, this is Adom, and this is Shahakal, and we think we have it all worked out. And when you learn Halachas a little bit more carefully, it's a whole welt. Every time you have a plate of food, there's 3, 4, 5 shilas. So the Dorim seem to be similar, but unfortunately, I still haven't got around to learning Halachas of the Dorim, and therefore I won't be able to speak about that. So I thought I'd move on in the parasha, but then I suddenly remembered the Vort that I once heard on the parasha of Nedarim, which I'd like to share with you. Before that, today's Rosh Chodesh Av, so it's feel it would only be correct to spend some time as well and tie it in to the inyanim of Av, Churban, Beis Migdosh. So I'd like to begin with the Gemara in Sanhedrin, a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is darshaning the Psukim in Yirmiya, and there's a pasuk over there where the Novi is telling off the Yidden, and he calls them Moshava Nitzachas, I think is the words. A Netzach, constantly rebelling. It says Yidden are constantly rebelling, and the Gemara there darshans the words differently. Darshans it as if it says Tshuva Nitzachas, which means a winning argument, a victorious answer. And it says the Yidden gave the Novi, the Gemara records a story where the Yidden gave the Novi a winning argument. In other words, the Novi told them off and they won. The Yidden answered back and won the argument. So the Gemara has two ways to explain what the Tshuva Nitzachas was, but Shmuel there says that the Tshuva Nitzachas was people sat in front of the Novi and the Novi was telling them off, and the Yidden said, a slave that his master has sold him, or a woman whose husband has divorced her, do they owe anything to each other? Do they have any responsibilities to each other? In other words, Yidden are saying we're like a slave of Hashem, but he sold us. He sold us to Nebuchadnezzar. We all know that Yidden, Knesset Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu are compared to Ish v'Isha. Kadosh Baruch Hu being the Ish, and Knesset Yisrael being the Isha. And the Gemara over there is comparing Golos to Gerushin, to divorce. And the Yidden turn around to Kodesh Baruch Hu and say that you've divorced us. You've divorced us if you're not taking care of us, if we're in Golos, so if we don't have the privileges of being your wife, and we don't have the responsibilities either. We don't owe you anything. And the Gemara calls this a tshuva nitzachas, a winning argument. And then the Gemara goes on to say that Hashem answers them in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Ayei Sefer Krisos, Tasha Shilcha Imchem. Where's your get? If you're divorced, where is your get? Where's your shtar? Without the contract, without the shtar, then it's worthless. And for the other taina that you say you're like a slave that the master has sold, the Gemara says, Eved, who have I sold you to? I've sold you to Nebuchadnezzar. The Pasuk calls Nebuchadnezzar Avdi. The Gemara says it's strange that the Pasuk calls David Avdi, we all know. Nebuchadnezzar Avdi. The Torah calls Nebuchadnezzar, Hashem's Eved, to answer the Yidden with this on the taina, on their claim. You're saying I've sold you to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is my slave, and a slave, whatever he owns, belongs to the master. So I may have sold you to Nebuchadnezzar, but you're still mine, because Nebuchadnezzar is my slave. It's a fascinating Gemara. It's a fascinating Gemara, but it's also a difficult Gemara, and I want to point out two difficulties. One difficulty is the Gemara says that the Yidden answer HaKadosh Baruch Hu a tshuva nitzachas, a winning argument. And then the Gemara goes on right away to say what Hashem answers back. I've seen many times two people argue and they both tell me they won the argument. Yeah. I've argued with people, I win the argument, and they tell me they won the argument. So you have that. But in the Gemara, Teres Emes, obviously on the one hand it says that the Yidden have a tshuva nitzachas, on the other hand it then goes on to say what HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and answers them. And if I can bring up, point out the second question on the Gemara, in Yeshiva we're learning the Masechtas Gittin. There's many, many Gemaras in Gittin that discuss the halacha that the get has to leave the Rishus Habal. When the husband gives the get to the wife, has to leave his domain and go into the woman's Rishus. You can't give the get if you're able to pull it back, it's not a good get. If it's still in your Rishus, in your domain, it's not a good get. Everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could he possibly give a get? How could he possibly give a get? It always belongs to him. It's always in his Rishus. How can the Gemara call the Yidden's Taina, Bnei Yisrael's Taina, Tshuva Nitzachas, a victorious argument? Hashem gave us a get. We've left his possession. Everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to hold on a couple of minutes with these two questions and move back first to our parsha. So, as we said, the parasha opens up in the Dorim, and in the Dorim we seem to find some conflicting Mamori Chazal, the correct approach to the Dorim, whether making a neder is a positive thing or a negative thing. We'll know the Mishnah of us, which tells us the Dorim siog la precious. A neder is the way forward if you want to move to precious. Precious there being, in a positive sense, being porous from Anyone Olam, from Olam Hazeh. On the other hand, the Yerushalmi in Test on the Dorim says, is not enough what the Torah has forbidden you. You want to add extra things. The Torah has told you it's not allowed, that's enough. So you need extras, you need more things to forbid. In other words, it seems to see Neder as a negative thing. There's a Yerushalmi, then the Kedushim, which is even stronger, it says, a person's going to have to pay, he's going to have to give a din v'cheshbon on everything he saw and didn't eat, and the meaning is the same. The things that are mutter, you're supposed to take advantage of. If the Torah allows it, so then on the contrary, you're supposed to use it out. You're supposed to use it, perhaps, or it's Hashem. You're supposed to use it. So we have this these conflicting Mamor Chazal, whether a neder is something, a positive thing or not. And the question is, what's the correct approach? It's maybe a similar shaila, a similar question, that one can have the correct approach to chumrus. Is it positive to add more and more chumrus? And today it's very popular. On the one hand, people are constantly searching. There are people that are looking for more chumras and more chumras, etc. On the other hand, it's also popular to constantly point that out and criticize the chumras. So the question is, which one's the correct approach? Is it to constantly add chumras, or on the contrary, if the Torah allows certain things, then it means it's for us to enjoy? And I'd like to suggest a certain mahalach, which is based on Rishonim and brought in Sifrei Musar, Sidus, and Drush, Ashkofa, that it depends who we're talking about. It depends who we're talking about. Sorry. It depends to which person. If you're afraid that let's take a neder, if you're afraid that a certain thing in Olam Hazeh is going to pull you down, it's going to affect you badly, then the correct approach is in the Dorm Shabbat Prishas. You have to stay away. You have to make a neder. David, don't make. You have to stay away. You have to decide this thing is not. Although it's mutter, but for, it might be mutter. But that's for somebody who's able to handle it. For me, it may pull me down. It may do me no good. So for that person, the neder is the correct approach. On the other hand, somebody who's on a higher darga, Elakimos Osadim Yoshar, if he's the way he's supposed to be, and he's able to use out Olam Hazeh, the things in this world that Hashem has created, for Avod Hashem, he doesn't feel in any way it's going to pull him down. And on the contrary, why is he excluding it? It's on the contrary, everything's supposed to be used for his Avod Hashem. Similar to, if I can give a maybe a simple example, if you, we all know if you have a child, try to keep him away from bad friends. Chovei Ro can have a terrible influence, and it's not something that, because in other words, the child isn't strong enough, and we're worried that this Chovei Ro can pull him down, and therefore the correct approach is to stay away. On the other hand, if you're a little stronger, if we're older sometimes, sometimes on the contrary, it's our job, our chayas to encourage, if we have a Chovei Ro and we feel that it's not going to pull us down in any way, on the contrary, we'll be able to elevate, uplift him, we'll be able to influence him for the good. So then on the contrary, that's part of your responsibility. There's no reason to stay away. So maybe a similar sort of idea in the Dorim, that if you're able, if you feel the Nyone Olam Hazeh are going to pull you down because of the position you're in or the level you're on, so then on the contrary, the correct approach would be a neder. Whereas on the other hand, if you feel that you're able to, it's not going to disturb your Avodas Hashem, then on the contrary, you have a responsibility to use it out for Avodas Hashem. If Hashem has allowed it, the reason he's allowed it is to use it out. I mean, we find this in Kabbalah that speaks about Nitzotzes of Kedusha, that everything has sparks of Kedusha in each thing, item in this world, and our job is to use out the thing for the service of Hashem, and that way we elevate these Nitzotzes, we elevate these sparks of Kedusha. No, you make a bracha, it's elevating the Inyan HaOlam. On the other hand, we have a mitzvah, Kaddish, according to Rabbanah, mitzvah, Minatayra, Kaddish, Atzchov, Mutter, Lecho. You have to refrain from that which is Mutter. So we clearly see you have these two approaches, and perhaps this is the Mahalach, but it depends how you feel it's going to affect you. If you're able to deal with it, or you're not able to deal with it. And perhaps similarly with Chumras and Siogim, is if you feel it's necessary to keep the mitzvah, or to hold you back from Averus, or Tchashash Averus, whatever it is. So then on the contrary, by all means, go ahead. Another chumrah, if it's important for your service of Hashem, you don't fall down. On the other hand, we all know that there's something called a hedyot. If you do something which is unnecessary, has no meaning. So it depends who we're talking to. It fits very nicely with that. We find that as the Yiddishkeit, many people have questions, but as the Torahs continue, we add more chumras and more chumras. And the Zman Bayis Rishon, there were many things that today are also and today are prohibited and then were permitted. The Zman Bayis Sheni, there's many Drabonans that were instituted then, most Drabonans were instituted then, many Xerus were instituted then. And as the generations continue, the Goinim, the Amoroim, the Goinim, the Rishonim, they're constantly adding. Nothing comes off. We never take off one of the mitzvahs, but we constantly add another Drabonan, a Chumra of the Rishonim, Vinuk, until the Achroinim, etc. So this fits well with the Yerid Zadiris as we go. As the Doris become of less stature, and therefore we need more in order to keep ourselves on the right track and to serve Hashem properly and not to fall. So then, on the contrary, we need more chumras. So there's Mambai's Risha where we know Asor and Nisim Nas and Havaseno, there was an Akus, was godliness was revealed, was Begilui. So then they needed less, whereas then afterwards, as we go into Golus, where Elakus is less revealed, so therefore, on the contrary, we need more chumras, we need more things. And if with this chart, we can explain a beautiful pshat that I heard, the Aforas Adorim, or Atoras Adorim. Yeah, the mitzvah begins with the neder, because you've got to keep the neder, but then you have the Atoras Adorim, a person's able to undo his neder, as I began with the story. And what's pshat? Undoing your neder, you try to take a neder and undo your neder. According to this pshat, the neder is there to keep me safe. The neder is there in order that I don't fall. I feel that none of them has, they're going to affect me negatively, so then I've got to take on a neder. So why am I suddenly undoing it? Very poshut. If I've become a little bit of a better person, I've worked on myself. I now feel that this thing isn't a disturbance anymore. I've been raised a little higher. So then, on the contrary, I'm able to undo the nether now. I'm not supposed to refrain from this thing anymore. On the contrary, I should use it out. I should use it out to serve Hashem if I'm able to. I should encourage it, influence it. Or if it's a Dvar Michael food, use it out, eat it in order to learn Torah, do mitzvahs. If I don't feel it's going to pull me down, so then I have to do a Torah Sodorim. And that's why you go to the Chochom for a Torah Sodorim. In other words, the way you on your level perhaps weren't ready, but you go to the Chochem, The Talmud Chochem, who's Dovik in Hashem. The Mishnah says, Ezeh Chochem as a Reyes and Neulot, which is a beautiful touch in Sefer Tanya. Reyes and Neulot means, the Chochem is Reyes and Neulot. He sees each thing, how it came about. The simple meaning is, he sees how things are going to develop. A smart person, and an intelligent person, he sees how things are going to develop. But the Taichi says in Tanya is Reyes and Neulot. He sees in everything Neulot, how it came about. He sees how it's really Hashem who created it. He sees that really nothing is a disturbance. Olam Hazeh, he sees in Olam Hazeh, he doesn't lose sight of a Neulot, how it came about, how the thing came to be, and how it's not a disturbance of Kedusha. On the contrary, everything's an expression of Kedusha. Everything should be and could be used for Kedusha. So if you go to the Chochem, who's Reyes and Neulot, who's able to see in Olam Hazeh, not a disturbance, but he doesn't lose sight. When he sees a good piece of steak or sushi, whatever it'll be for each person with that thing, he doesn't lose sight of as a neulot how the thing came about and what it's here for, how you're supposed to serve Hashem with it. So you go to the Chochem, who's on this higher dagger, and he's able to lift you as well, he's able to influence you as well, and therefore you're now able to shed one neder, to leave go of a neder. There was something before that the approach had to be neder, stay back, and now the approach is able to be on the contrary, I'm able to use it out for Avodas Hashem. Going back to the Gemara, we asked, the Gemara says, briefly sum up for those who came in afterwards, the Gemara says that the Yidden gave a winning argument to Hashem, and they said, in Golus, we're not yours anymore, you've divorced us, you're a husband who's divorced his wife, that we don't have any responsibilities. And Hashem answers, where's the Sefer Krisus, where's the get? So we asked, how can it be both sides win the argument? How can it be that the Yidden win the argument? So perhaps the answer is we asked another question, how can Hashem give us a get? How can the get leave the Eibishter's, Kadosh Baruch Hu's Rishus? How can it leave his property, his domain? So perhaps they're both winning arguments. They both have a level of truth. In Golos, we all know Yidden in Golos have left our father's table. In the Zman HaBayis, as we said, where they were needed less Chumras, Elokus, godliness was more revealed. So then, in a revealed way, everything was Hashem's domain. Then we were Ka'ish, like a husband and wife who are married. We were in Hashem's domain, you can't give us a get. But in Golos, on the contrary, in the Golos, in a Begoli at least, we don't see Elokus, we don't see the revelation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu the way we saw in the Zman HaBayis. And therefore, in a revealed way, yes, he's able to give us a get. He's able to leave his rishus, and it's shugun nitzachas. It's a winning argument. There's truth to it. There's value to it. In a certain sense, it's not the way it was before. However, Hashem answers, dig a little deeper. You're right superficially. You're right that superficially, we don't see elokus, we don't see godliness, we don't see a kadosh baruch Hu the same way we saw him in the Zman HaBayis. However, if you dig a little bit deeper, then you'll realize that even Bizman HaGolus, everything is really my domain, everything's really still in my possession. The get, I say for Krisus, where is the get? Because the get isn't a kosher get, because it's still in my Rishus. You're saying you've left my Rishus, maybe superficial on the surface, you've left my Rishus. But a little bit deeper, a little bit below the surface, on the contrary, Hashem's with us in Golus, Hashem is still with us, we still have a Kadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us and guiding us through our lives. And if we dig a little deeper, we're able to see even within Golos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and never the get's apostle get. The get is give us eyes, save the creases. Where is it? I've sold you as you're a slave that I've sold, but I've sold you to my slave. If you dig a little deeper, then Nebuchadnezzar Avdi, like David Avdi. Just like David, who in a revealed way is the Abish, the slave, belongs to Hashem. Even Nebuchadnezzar, you can't leave my Rishus. Our connection, you can't leave my Rishus. The connection is deeper than that. Even in the time of Golos, we're still... Kodesh Baruch Hu is with us, and therefore it's not a kosher get. Therefore we're still connected. Like we said before, that really you could be on a level that you need to make a neder. You could be on a level of like the Zman HaGolos, where Kodesh Baruch Hu isn't revealed in your life in a way that you're able to use everything out for Avodas Hashem. However, if you go to the Chochem, even the Zman HaGolos, you're able to reveal that a little bit below the surface. You're even in the Zman HaGolos, even when it's difficult, you're still able to. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu is still with us, and we're still able to be on a higher level and not need a neder, rather, on the contrary, use out Olam Hazeh for the service of Hashem. And in a certain sense, this Gemara brings out that in Golos, the connection between Yidden and Hashem is much deeper than it is Bizman HaBayis. Because when you're married, that's good, but when you're divorced, you're married. That means the connection is very deep. It's a very strong connection. If even after Hashem sends us away, one of them says, in our various Hashem sent us away, but it's not a divorce, I can't divorce you. There's no Sefer Krisa. If even after Hashem sends us away, if we're not doing Hashem's Ratzon, we're not the way we're supposed to, we're not like a husband and wife that are living together happily. Rather, it's a situation as if it's divorced. But nevertheless, we can't be divorced. So that brings out a connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, which is so deep that can't change. Things that are more superficial, if you have a job, you can change your job. Who you are, you can't change. I mean, your midas you can change, because it's also not essentially you. But if you're a Yid, you can't become another Yid, because that's who you are, that's your essence. That's your identity. That's your ultimate identity. Yidden's connection and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so deep. It's who they are, it's their etzem, that's their essence, that's their real identity, and therefore, even when He sends them away, we're still His. So this, in Zman HaGolus, brings out even a deeper connection than Bizman HaBayis. I can bring it back to the parasha. The parasha is called Matos. In the Rosh Matos. Matos means the Shevatim, one of the tribes, but the word Matos in its root means a stick. A stick is firm. Rashi says that why do we use the word here Matos and not Shevet, which we use in other times? Rashi says Rosh Matos is, the reason we say Rosh Matos is because you have to go to the Yochid Mumcha, that's the Chokom, which is Matos the Neder. If in Zman HaGolus you're like a Matos, you're firm like a stick, you're very firm. But even in Zman HaGolus, you're able to stand strong and see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Zman HaGolus and serve Hashem properly. So then you're able to undo the neder. You're able to shed off the neder. So although naturally it's only Zman HaBayis, but like we said, if you dig a bit deeper, even in Zman HaGolus, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is there. That's for them that say that the word Shevet, the difference between the word Shevet and Matah, Shevet also means a stick. But Shevet in its root means the branch of the tree, according to some Svarim, the branch of the tree when it's connected to the tree. When it's connected to the tree, the branch is a little softer. It's a little softer, but it's connected to the tree. So that's the Avodas Hashem in the Zman HaBayis, when we're still connected to the source, we still nurture from the tree, we still see the chayos, we see how we're connected to Hashem in a revealed way. And then things are good, then it's softer, then it doesn't have this hardness of difficulty of Zman HaGolus. But on the other hand, Davka Zman HaGolus, the mat is the stick which is disconnected from the tree. The mat is a stick that's been disconnected, then it dries out, it becomes harder. It becomes a hard stick. So, but in a way you can look at it as a way lemalusa, as Zman HaGolus. Where Matah means, it brings out a stronger connection. Though if we're able to stay firm, even with Zman HaGolus, so that's like the Chochom was able to undo the net there. It's a stronger connection. It's a strong connection that says, even when it's Zman HaGolus, even when it doesn't seem to be connected, this is our essence. And Mamela, we're connected in an ultimate way. I have a couple of minutes, so I'm going to move on to Dvar Halacha. Which I'm reminded of in this when I'm saying this word, the going to the Chochem. So there aren't a lot of in Torah there aren't a lot of explicit. I mean, we all know Yiddishkeit is built on the Rav and going to the Chochem, but there aren't a lot of halachas which are explicit. The build of it is going to the Chochem. One of the exceptions, and perhaps the most the clearest exception, where it's a famous Gemara that the way is to go to the Chochem is the halachas of brachas. He said, I mean, Oisik and brachas, so it's a couple of minutes. Halachas of brachas. The Gemara says, if you enjoy oilam hazeb without a bracha, moal. It's considered like me'ila, you've benefited from Hashem's things, the whole world, Hashem aratz maloya, the whole world belongs to Hashem, and you've benefited from Hashem's things without permission. Maya says the Gemara, what should you do? If you're an enef oilam hazeb without a bracha, what should you do? So the Gemara says, yeilich eitzel chochem, go to the chochem. That's the solution. No? My Avidle, says the Gemara, what's the Chacham going to do? This is in the first Omid of Ketzav Rochem. My Avidle, what's the Chacham going to do? How's the Chacham going to help you? You're going to go to the Chacham. Well, Mata come to him, sorry. My Avidle, how's the Chacham going to help you? You ate without a bracha. What's the Chacham going to do? So the Gemara says, Eliyelech, it's the Chacham, Yikari, you should go to the Chacham, Lechatchila, right in the beginning. The Yilmud, the Hilchus Brachas. And you should learn the Halachas of Brachas. After you've done it, it's too late. There's nothing to do about it. But before you've done it, then the solution is to go to the Chacham. And as I said, the Lachos of Brachas are very complicated, and it's interesting that Dafka over here, the Gemara tells us that there's kilo a chiyuv in each person to go to the Chacham to learn the Halachas. And there's even different Halachas for the person who's gone to the Chacham or hasn't gone to the Chacham. We all know that Shahakal covers everything, but it's not so simple, you can't just make a Shahakal. According to many poskim, if you've already gone to the Chacham, if you've already learned Hilchos Brachas, and you still have a sopik about something because you're not sure how to decide the halacha, you're not sure the achros adin, then according to many, you're allowed to make a shahakal, even a chetchila. If you haven't yet gone to the Chacham, you haven't. So maybe smicha in its real form is in Hilchos Brachas tafka. Then there's a real difference between the Rav And in other words, there's a different halacha for somebody who's gone to the chacham, who's learned halachas and hasn't learned halachas. He's a different person. He has a different halacha. He's able to make a shakel, and he isn't able to make a shakel. But there's a pashta kasha on this Gemara where the Gemara says that what's the chacham going to do for you if you ate without a bracha? What's the chacham? How is he supposed to help you? The chayyur, there's a pashta teretz. He's going to give you a tikkun tshuva. He's going to tell you how to do tshuva, right? So if you did something wrong, you have to do tshuva. How do you do tshuva? Say there is. You go to chacham who gives you. If you look at tshuva svarim. Excuse the palm, the tshuvas forum, they're full of, I don't mean the tshuvas forum as in tshuva, the forum of tshuvas, they're full of shilas, people asking the rabbonim, the poiskim, of what's the correct path of tshuva for him, for this avera, for that avera. So what does the Gemara mean, yelichit chochem? So I saw that somebody points out that this is a raya to the nesivas. It's a very famous nesivas, a beautiful nesivas, which has a major chiddush halacha. Most poiskim argue, but it comes out a major chiddush halacha, and I've heard the poiskim sometimes rely on it in tremendous shas at chak. We all know we have this is the raya and this is the rabbonim. So the Nesiva says, many other poets later Chorinim discuss it, that Issa Duraisa is an Issa Hefta. When the Torah says don't do something, it's a real Issa. The Torah says don't eat this food, it's because it's no good. You're not allowed to eat it. The food is not kosher. The food is negative. When the Chacham say don't do something, it's an Issa Gavret. They're telling you don't do it. It's not an Issa Hefta, it doesn't permeate the articles that we're dealing with. It's just on the person. The Chacham Kriyan keep it safe. They tell you don't do this, don't do that, etc. That's an Issachevtza. It's an Issachevtza. Says the Nesivas, if so, if you do an Issachevtza by mistake, you've got to do tshuva. If you did it specially, you did something wrong, specially. If you did it by accident, so by accident you did something wrong. You didn't mean to do something wrong, but the thing is wrong. When it comes to an Issachevtza, he says there's no Issachevtza. If you did it by accident, you didn't do anything wrong. Because the thing isn't the issue. The issue is you not listening to the Chachamim. It's an Issachevtza. It's on you. And if I didn't know, I wasn't aware, so I didn't do anything wrong. So Nesiva says that an Issa Rabban B'Shoigi isn't an Issa. Why does this have huge ramifications in Halacha? According to this, if you don't know something's Issa Rabbanon, so you're not doing anything wrong. So if I know something's Issa Rabbanon, I know something, I know the cholent has been cooked on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to eat it mid Rabbanon. According to Nesiva, if my friend doesn't know, I don't necessarily have to tell them. Because they don't know. They don't know it's not an Issa. The Issa is to go against the words of Rabbanon, but it isn't an Issa with eating the cholent. That's the chiddush of the Nesiva. Now, let me point out, most Achorinim argue. I mean, Lemaisa, we wouldn't follow this psak. If somebody's doing an Issa Rabbanon, you'd have to point it out. You'd have to let him know. But this Gemara that says, Ma'ita kante yelech etzachochem, the Gemara doesn't see any... The Gemara says, what if you haven't made a bracha, what's the solution? Go to the Chochem. What's the Chochem going to do? The Chochem should tell you to do tshuva. Point out some, that this Gemara is much more like the Nesivas. That there's no tshuva after not making a brocha. If you didn't make a brocha because you were aware, that's amazing. That would be a terrible avera because you're going against the chachamim. However, if it's since the brocha is a midrabbanon according to almost all opinions, and you didn't know about it, so there's no tshuva. So what's he going to do to you? What's done is done. Says he want to know for the future. He can help you for the future. Have a good Shabbos.